The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Zen Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Last night in her opening remarks, Melissa encouraged us to think of the temple as extending into our living spaces so that that our homes became and become and are our practice centers, our retreat centers. And maybe in this spirit, I've noticed that some of us have lit candles on our home altars. I've been enjoying the flickering flames, and perhaps some have lit incense at times. And I found myself yesterday afternoon when I was buying food for the weekend, I found myself buying flowers, and I found a very nice bouquet of fall-colored flowers, chrysanthemums and daisies and sweet William in reds and oranges and yellows, which have been the colors of this fall in Eastern Mass. It's been quite a lovely one. Flaming reds and red oranges and golden colors. Everywhere here in Waltham. And so when I opened them up, I found myself placing them in different parts of my condo, sometimes just one flower in a little vase, like the one on my altar, and sometimes more. And now almost everywhere I go, I see these flame-colored, fall-colored blooms. And I've been asking myself what kind of practice this represents. And I have several responses. Several have come up for me. And one is just the simple offering of flowers to the Buddha. And I've thought of the lines in our sutra book from the Lotus Sutra that go like this. If anyone, even with a single flower, even while distracted, makes an offering to a painted image, they will gradually see countless Buddhas. So I love the promise there. Even if distracted, just offering a single flower. Our Zen practice is not so far removed from Pure Land practice because we too in Zen think that nothing special needs to be done, just a single flower. The only difference is that we don't wait for the Pure Land. The Pure Land is right here, right where we are. This very body, the Buddha. And another way these flowers are arising for me, are meeting me as I encounter them again and again throughout the day, is as the flower that Shakyamuni holds out to Mahakashyapa. And in holding out the flower, the Buddha is inviting Mahakashyapa to see it and as just what it is, and as just what it is, to see it as the entire universe. A universe in which Mahakashyapa or you or me are no longer some alienated stranger, but are so intimately involved in it that there's no saying where we stop and the universe begins. And so this too is part of my flower practice. And I've also been thinking in this time of, as Melissa described it so trenchantly and movingly this morning, this time of war. And not just the wars we read about, but the ones that we don't this time of so many people intent on killing each other, and a time of so many deaths, that I've been thinking of the flowers too as the flowers you offer the dead. So many dead around us right now. Look at the newspaper, and there are thousands more, it seems, each day. Du Fu has this, Du Fu, the Tang Dynasty poet, who also lived in a time of war and massive casualties in China. A vast part of the population died or disappeared during the Lushan Rebellion and the civil wars that followed. Du Fu, in his great wartime poem, Facing Snow, has the phrase, many fresh ghosts, and that keeps coming to me. Many fresh ghosts each day. And you know, if I ask myself, if we ask each other, why do people offer flowers to the dead? I'm sure there are 100 answers or more, and maybe different answers in different cultures, or multiple answers in given cultures. But one response that's come up in me about why we offer flowers to the dead, to the fresh ghosts, has to do with our interest at this Sesshin, our calling out at this Sesshin to Kanzeon, to Avalokiteshvara. And for me, it's encapsulated in a line from one of our dedications. Guanyin finds us in the dark and broken roads. This, to me, does not mean that an external being comes to soothe me or comfort me when I'm in my dark and broken places. But it means that when I'm in the dark, when I'm broken, is when compassion starts to manifest often. Suddenly, I'm in touch with the suffering of the world because I'm feeling it so much myself. And in this broken place, flowers bloom. Flowers blooming among the corpses on the open fields. Flowers blooming in our hearts as they break. We talk in our meal service. We have the line, like a lotus in muddy water. And it's an important image. The lotus of our awakening needs the mud, needs the dust of our lives for nourishment. The lotus grows out of that mud. It's not transcending it. It's growing directly out of it. But we also have in texts like the Five Ranks, the lotus in fire. And this to me seems a time of the lotus in fire. Even out of the fires of suffering and hatred and wartime and anger, even out of the fires, the lotus is born. Out of the fiery passions in us, as we respond with anger and anxiety and passion to this series, long series of outrages that we're destined to live through, as many other generations have been, including Du Fu's, including many of our Zen ancestors. This is nothing new. So Avalokiteshvara, Guanyin, Kannon, often associated with water, with the yin principle, with flowing. But for me at this Sesshin, I am remembering this image of the lotus in fire and Guanyin coming to us in the dark and broken and fiery places. And this is part of my practice this weekend. And I invite you all to join me in it. Thank you.